With me, if you would, in your copy of Scripture to the book of Genesis. As we continue to make our way through Genesis, the life of Joseph, we'll be reading in just a moment from Genesis chapter 46 at verse 28 through the whole of Genesis 47. Again, our scripture comes to us beginning at the end of Genesis 46 at verse 28, and we will read through the whole of Genesis 47. Watching the news these days is more burden than pleasure, but there are certain stories that I really enjoy watching. And one of those stories I really enjoy watching is when a naturalization ceremony is featured. These are men and women who have come from across the world seeking refuge or a home or opportunity in the United States. And to see the looks on their faces, the sheer delight and joy that this long-sought goal is now become a reality. I am a citizen of the United States of America. Well, the family of Jacob are now becoming, as it were, citizens of Egypt. We might think that Jacob would be overjoyed to be in his new home. And you can imagine a reporter from the local paper interviewing Jacob, the newest citizen of the land. But as he asks Jacob, as he listens to Jacob, he hears Jacob say in chapter 47, "Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life." And you can imagine the reporter looking for someone else to interview. Jacob seems to be sour. Jacob seems to be ungrateful. In fact, it's just the opposite. Jacob is a grateful man, and he breathes the spirit of a pilgrim. Jacob knows this world is not his home. What is the spirit of a pilgrim? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a pilgrim. What spirit would God have you to breathe as you make your pilgrimage to glory? And that's what we're going to see from our scripture this evening. Give thought to that as we read from the Word of God. And before we read, let's ask God's help in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that your Word speaks to us in just the places where we find ourselves, where you have settled us in your good and wise providence. And we thank you that you give us everything that we need for the journey. So, Father, with open minds and receptive hearts, we pray that you would fill us full with all good things from your Word, that we may live to your glory in days ahead. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Hear now God's Word as we begin at Genesis 46 at verse 28. He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive." Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. When Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, my father and my brothers, with their flocks and herds and all that they possess, have come from the land of Canaan. They are now in the land of Goshen. And from among his brothers he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? And they said to Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were. They said to Pharaoh, we have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their dependents. Now there was no food in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan in exchange for the grain that they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? For our money is gone. And Joseph answered, give your livestock, and I will give you food in exchange for your livestock if your money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the herds, and the donkeys. He supplied them with food in exchange for all their livestock that year. And when that year was ended, they came to him the following year and said to him, we will not hide from my lord that our money is all spent. The herds of livestock are my lord's. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we with our land will be servants to Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For all the Egyptians sold their fields because the famine was severe on them. The land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he made servants of them from one end of Egypt to the other. Only the land of the priests he did not buy. For the priests had a fixed allowance from Pharaoh and lived on the allowance that Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And at the harvests, you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh. and 4/5 shall be your own, as seed for the field, and as food for yourselves and your households, and as food for your little ones. And they said, you have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh. So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth. The land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. He answered, I will do as you have said. And he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. Thus far, God's holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. May he add his blessing to it. Well, Joseph has revealed himself and been reconciled to his brothers. And now they begin to look at the rest of their lives. Pharaoh has offered to Joseph the very best of the land, the fat of the land for the family. And so it is time now to gather the family together. Jacob is still in Canaan. The women and the children are still in Canaan. It is time to bring them all together. And that's what happens at the opening of our passage at the end of chapter 46. Joseph is led by his brother Judah to Goshen. And he sees his father Jacob for the very first time in years. And Jacob says, now let me die. You think of Simeon holding the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant. Lord, now you dismiss your servant in peace. But after the tears, there are plans. And Joseph begins to tell his family exactly what they must do to prepare for their new life in Egypt. And then at the beginning of chapter 47, we have the family meeting with Pharaoh. And it goes according to script. With Pharaoh's blessing, they get, verse 11, a possession in the land of Egypt, the best of the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And then as we read into the rest of the chapter, we realize why the family had to come in the first place. There is a famine that is ravaging not only the land of Canaan, but also the land of Egypt. And Joseph begins to take emergency measures to avoid mass starvation in Egypt. Now, as wonderful as these events are, God is protecting, God is providing for this family whom he has chosen, whom he has loved. They're not in the land of promise. They're not going to be in the land of promise for 430 years. They will be for generations pilgrims in a strange land. What is it that pilgrims need to know? And that's what our scripture is going to show us this evening. And I want you to look with me at just two things that emerge from God's dealings with his people, that show us what it is to be a pilgrim in a strange land. And the first thing we see is earthly bounty. God is richly providing for his people. Jacob has come to Egypt in faith. This is not an act of disobedience. God had said to him at the beginning of chapter 46, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. I myself will go down with you to Egypt." And they are leaving everything that's familiar. They are leaving their homes. And they are coming to Egypt as strangers, with their clothes on their backs and their animals in tow. And we see God richly providing for them in this strange land in two ways. In the first place, there is possession. Jacob and his sons arrive with little, and God provides for them wonderfully. And it begins when Joseph arranges to meet them in Goshen. The family, I don't think, quite knows it, but that's going to be their new home. And he crafts a plan. Joseph knows exactly what he wants to do. He writes a speech. He hands it to his brothers, and he says, "Learn this. This is what you're going to say to Pharaoh." And the plan goes off without a hitch. They come to Pharaoh and they say, "Please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen," verse 4. And look at how Pharaoh responds in verse 6. "The land of Egypt is before you. Joseph, settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen, and if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock." Pharaoh is giving them more than they asked for. "I'll give you the land of Goshen, and I have some good government jobs with pensions that any of your brothers who want them can take." And Pharaoh makes good on his word. Look at verse 11. "And Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded." And then in verse 12, Joseph is going to provide the family with food. They will get a daily allowance from the court. And you know this is not done without Pharaoh's blessing. Look how differently the Egyptians are faring in their own land. It begins to dawn on them that this famine is severe, that they are facing starvation. And as they are reduced to poverty, as they are facing hunger, they come to Joseph and they sell off all of their livestock for food. But then they're still hungry. And then they sell all of their land for food. And they are still hungry. And then they do the only thing that they can do. They sell themselves into slavery, into bondage to Pharaoh for food. But Israel, look at verse 27. "Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it. They were fruitful and multiplied greatly." God has brought these foreigners into Egypt, and he has poured out richly his blessing upon them. But it's not just possession. There is also separation. God is separating Israel from Egypt. Did you notice how keen Joseph is to settle his family in Goshen? Where is Goshen? Goshen is in the far northeastern Nile Delta. It is on the edge, the fringe of Egypt. They are shepherds. And Joseph makes good on the fact that his family are shepherds. Verse 34, every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. They won't want anything to do with the Israelites. They will be perfectly happy to stay as far from Israel as they can. Now, what's Joseph doing? What's God doing through Joseph? You see, he's thinking we have got to keep ourselves as far from Egypt, as far from the world as we possibly can. Remember when the family had lived in Canaan? And they weren't the only occupants. There were the Canaanites who lived with them. And those Canaanites had posed powerful temptations to the family. And there were times the family couldn't resist those temptations. Judah kept company with the locals. He married a local girl. Dinah kept friends among the Canaanite women. And it didn't turn out well for either one of them. What's God doing? He is going to separate the family from Egypt. He is doing it to preserve their integrity. He is doing it to keep them from temptations that are too powerful for them. That's why he has brought them out of the land of Canaan. That is why in Egypt he is settling them as far from the Egyptians as he possibly can. There is possession, yes, but there is separation as well. That's the earthly bounty God is giving his pilgrim people. How does this apply to us tonight? In the first place, you see how richly God provides for his people. He gives them everything that they need. Maybe not everything that they want, but everything that they need is theirs. I wonder if you've looked back over your life, for yourself, for your family, for your church. Have you traced the way that the Lord has abundantly provided in your life? I knew a minister who used to keep in his family, they called it a Jehovah Jireh journal. The Lord will provide. And as the Lord provided wonderfully for that home, they would make an entry in their journal. They would log the ways the Lord has provided. You don't have to keep a journal, but you can look back and you can think on how the Lord has cared for you. We live in a culture of entitlement. God's people are a grateful people. Are you grateful to God for all that he provides and does? But you say, look, Jacob wanted to stay in Canaan. It was a sorrow to Jacob to leave Canaan and to come to Egypt. Why didn't God give Jacob what he wanted? Why doesn't God give us what we want? Even when those things are good in themselves, why does God keep them from us? And you know, our scripture gives us, I think, two answers to that. In the first place, do you see everything that God gives you, believer, is designed to promote your holiness? That's why God brought the family to Egypt. That's why God brought the family out of Canaan. They needed to be separated from Canaan. They needed to be separated from the Egyptians for 430 years. You look back on your life. The person that you thought you would marry. The job that you really wanted but never got. The friend you were so close to and then just dropped you You know, God ordered these. And God ordered these for your holiness. You may not understand all the whys and the wherefores, but God has done this in your life to promote holiness. You can rest in the wisdom and in the goodness of your God. But there's another reason God didn't give Jacob what he really wanted, and why he doesn't always give us what we really want. And it goes all the way back to what God had promised Jacob, had promised Abraham. God had said in Genesis 15, "Now Abraham, your descendants are going to be servants in Egypt. They will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they will come out with great possessions." You see, God is bringing the family to Egypt because he is laying the groundwork for the Exodus. And that Exodus is a shadow of the great redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God, you understand, was doing in the life of Jacob and in the life of his family was a piece in the much bigger picture of what God was doing in his church through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's still the case. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, every detail of your life is a piece of that bigger picture. God is bringing sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is gathering the elect for whom he has shed his blood. We are waiting for, preparing for that day when people from all tribes, tongues, races will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy in glory. And doesn't that put your life in perspective? Why did God take this from me? Why didn't God give this to me? Friend, you may never get an answer to that question in this life. But you know this much. Your Father is good. And everything he is doing is to bring all under the lordship and preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at your life that way, then you can live your life that way to the glory of this Redeemer. Well, there's earthly bounty. But there's a second thing we see. We see earthly bounty from the hand of God, but we also see heavenly riches from the hand of God. And we see it in two places. In the first place, here is Jacob meeting with Pharaoh in verses 7 to 10 of chapter 47. Here is Pharaoh. He is the most powerful man in Egypt. He is likely one of the most powerful men in the whole world. And here comes Jacob, this poor, old Hebrew man. He is the very picture of powerlessness. And Pharaoh has complete power of life and death over Jacob. And I want you to look at what Jacob says to him, and I want you to look at what Jacob does to him. Here is Jacob who has an audience with Pharaoh. What will you say, Jacob? Verse 9, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning. Some people criticize Jacob. He's complaining. This is poor witness, they say. In fact, the opposite is true. Jacob is standing before Pharaoh and saying, "I am a pilgrim on this earth. And my father was a pilgrim. And his father was a pilgrim. I don't live for this world. My days are few and evil. I am passing through, and I am looking to an eternal and a blessed home. And then look at what he does. In fact, the scripture records it twice. Verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Verse 10. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Doesn't the greater man bless the lesser man? Shouldn't the more powerful man bless the weaker man? Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And Jacob blesses Pharaoh because God has entrusted him with the promise. And God has called him to be a blessing to the nations. And that's exactly what Jacob is doing. He pronounces the blessing of God upon this pagan, upon this Gentile, Pharaoh. How can Jacob do this? And the answer comes at the very end of our chapter. As we look at Jacob's meeting with Joseph. You know, God has done wonderful things in the life of this family. He has provided bountifully, wonderfully for them all. Jacob is a grateful man, but Jacob will not be satisfied in the things of this world. And so he exacts a pledge from his son Joseph, and he is very insistent. Verse 29, do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. Verse 30. And twice in verse 29 and 31, he compels him to swear that he will do this. Why is Jacob so insistent to be buried in the land? Jacob, there is plenty of space in Egypt. There are fine burial grounds near home. Why Canaan? Because God had said to Jacob in chapter 46 at verse 4, Jacob, I will bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. Why is Jacob so insistent? Because God had promised him. And Jacob is grasping the promise of God, and he will not let it go. He is a man who trusts God. He is a man who takes God at his word. He is a God who is near to him. He is a man who is near to his God. And that's why he can stand before Pharaoh and tell him, I am a pilgrim. And pronounce the blessing of God upon him. As we close, how does this apply to us? Well, here's a glimpse of what it is to be a pilgrim in this world. We are grateful for everything God gives. We are never satisfied in this life, in the things of this life. Where does Jacob's satisfaction come from? It's not in the place that he lives. It's not in how much money he has. It's not even having his whole family together with him. Jacob's satisfaction is in his God and in the promises of his God. That God has pledged himself to Jacob. I wonder how it is with you. Where is your satisfaction this evening? And God tells you, we read this earlier in 1 Timothy 6, You will look in vain to find satisfaction in this world, in the things of this present life. It cannot be done. You will only find satisfaction in God Himself. And friends, the good news is that He invites you to come to Him and find that satisfaction. You will find a God who will never leave you or forsake you. You will find His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood to cancel the sins of sinners. You will find that you have been brought into the family of God as a son of the living God in Jesus Christ. You will find the provision of the Holy Spirit poured out by the Father and by the Son. Pledge of your final redemption. So where is your satisfaction? You'll never have it in this life. You'll only have it in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, come to me. You're barren. You're thirsty. Come to me for springs of living water. And you'll never thirst again. Have you taken Him up on that call? Maybe you've heard it said, He's so heavenly minded, He's no earthly good. You know, no one could say that of Jacob. Here is a man whose faith is firmly fixed on God and the promises of his God. Those promises are steering his every decision and move. And yet Jacob boldly took the opportunity when his earthly life was in the balance to tell Pharaoh, I am a pilgrim in this world, and you need the blessing of God. And God has called me to pronounce that blessing, and I'm going to speak that blessing to you right now. That is earthly good that comes from the heart of one whose home is not on earth, but in heaven. Jacob knew the God who loved him and redeemed him. And Jacob knew that he had been redeemed to serve him. How is it with you? You know this God. Have you come to this God? Is He your God? If He is, you want to serve Him. You want to tell others who are perishing, I know where there's blessing. I know where there's life. I know where there's satisfaction. Well, that's what it is to be a pilgrim on the way. You're on your way to your eternal home. And by God's grace, you will do eternal good as long as you are in this world. Let's pray. Our Father, how we thank you that by your grace, you weaned your servant Jacob from the love of this world. You drove that love out, replacing it with a deeper, more abiding, and eternal love, one that filled his mind and heart and drove him to serve you. And we thank you for the ways that you provided for him and cared for him, ways that were unexpected, ways that demonstrated your evident care for your servants. Father, we pray that we would look to you to provide in this life. But Father, as we would be grateful for that provision, may we find our satisfaction only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in finding Him to be our all in all, may we devote ourselves to His service in this life until that day when He calls us home. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.